Blog Talk Radio.
And my living situation is depressing me. I'm repaying the Lord's spiritual debt to me. First time I took a lethal size dose, but never will I load syringes with dope. I remember being lost, scared, delusional. Seen the same laws the soothsayer Druids do. Took a ladder to the seventh dimension. The body is literally spirit attention. Leviticus scripture describes Moses liberating social divide, leading sinners with the diethylamide. Add a little salvia, divinorum, leaves stiff and dry. From the forest, the last soldier to die. Smoke bubble kush, my lieutenant's still dead. What is LSD? What is LSD? What is LSD? Lunar solar duality. Lucifer, Satan, devil, Logan, Spawn, Deadpool. The lunatic, sadistic and dreadful. Osiris limbs scattered and disassembled. Time machine with the Lamborghini style door. Extremely limited silverish DeLorean. Why my head look slightly deformative? Cause my frontal lobe synaptics are dwarfing them. And every time I let semen drop, I create a legacy of super demigods. I'm Luke Skywalker's daddy, my red lightsaber dark, my laboratory secluded and dark. Lyric sick as dysentery. I'm a living speaking dictionary. Mental lexicon, Sumerian dialect. I see the image like Spike the Rex. What is LSD? What is LSD? What is LSD? Lunar solar duality. What is LSD? What is LSD? What is LSD? Lunar solar duality.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Hello, hello, hello. How are you doing out there? Hello, world. Hello. I'm so happy to have you back with me tonight. Yes, yes. Thank you, thank you. Come on in, come on in for a great show tonight. Yes. The name of the show tonight? We are still going to be talking about the Biden and Harris administration years. And tonight is going to be black supremacy versus white supremacy. Yes, yes, yes. Come on in. Come on in. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Now, we are going, we are still in the process of adding Facebook video and other video, but until then we will be here always as scheduled every second and fourth Monday, every second and fourth Monday at 8 p.m. Now tonight, this 8 p.m. is like really it's, you know, kind of draining on me, so I may next week, y'all, just to get the flow going a little bit better, we may have to move and schedule the show up time. It just depends on our producer. You know, it may be convenient for him to do it earlier or for us to do it earlier, period, because it gets a little late. And I know a lot of people get tired, because I get tired around this time of night. So be looking on that. We may switch to maybe 6, in between 6 to 7 o'clock or 6:30. That may be the time that we switch to. So be patient with me. Be patient with me. I know I've been doing this for a couple of years, so I should have it together. But things changes, and nothing stays the same. You know, everything evolves, so we got to roll with the punches. So I welcome you all again tonight. The name of the show tonight is The Biden-Harris Administration Years, Black Supremacists versus White Supremacists. All right, so I got a clip for you all tonight. It's pretty long. It's an hour clip, so I'm going to get into it, and we're probably going to play the clip in just a little bit, because I want to get that clip in, and I don't want to make the show to be too long, because I realize it's late, and, you know, I want you to hear what I'm saying and not fall asleep on me. So basically, the reason why I wanted to do a show speaking on Black supremacy versus White supremacy is because it is past time, and White supremacy. So is we going to end White supremacy with Black supremacy, or is Black supremacy even a thing? Is it even feasible? I was watching one video on YouTube where a guy was saying that, you know, like, what is Black supremacy? Like, only thing that he could think that Black supremacy would be or mean is the Black confidence, the Black people gaining confidence in, you know, their fight here in America or what is going on. I think most people know what White supremacy is here in America, especially if you're here in America and you're a Black African American. But if you're not a Black African American and you're here in America, and everybody should know what the definition of White supremacy is. And it's different understandings for everybody, because, you know, us Blacks know and have lived up under a government or white supremacy in this country. White supremacy, the definition of supremacy being the state or condition of being superior to all others in authority, power, or status. So that's what supremacy means. So white supremacy would mean people of, okay, wait a minute. White, we have to get the definition of white people. Who are, what is white people? So I'm going to read a definition here of white people. And this definition that I got, I see here is from Wikipedia. I really don't like to get definitions from Wikipedia, but I really like what this definition said compared to, it really didn't bring a lot of definitions up, but this definition says,
white is a racialized classification of people and a skin color specific, generally used for people of European origin. Although the definition can vary depending on context, the nationality, and the point of view that you're speaking on. But in the U.S., the term has at times been expanded to encompass persons of South Asian, West Asian, and North African descendant, persons who are often considered non-white in other contexts in the United States. It has also been alleged that in the United States, people of Southern European and even Irish descent have been excluded from this category, although this idea has been contested. The usage of white people or a white race for a large group of mainly or exclusively European populations defined by their light skin, among other physical characteristics, and contrasting with the black, red, brown, yellow, and other colored people or persons of color, originated in the 17th century. Prior to the 17th century, Europeans also described people from East Asia as being white. The term white may or may not be capitalized. The National Association of Black Journalists recommended that the W in white be capitalized in 2020. The AP style book says that the W should not be capitalized. The concept of a unified white race did not achieve universal acceptance in Europe when it first came into use in the 17th century or in the centuries afterwards. Nazi Germany regarded some European peoples, such as Slavs, as racially distinct from themselves. Prior to the modern age, no European peoples regarded themselves as white, but rather defined their race, ancestry, or ethnicity in terms of their nationality. Moreover, there is no accepted standard for determining the geographic barrier between white and non-white people. Contemporary anthropologists, other scientists, while recognizing the reality of biological variation between different human populations regarded the concept of unified, distinguishable, white race as socially constructed as a group with several different potential boundaries. It is an example of a fuzzy concept. The term white race or white people entered the major European languages in the late 17th century in the context of racialized slavery and unequal social status in the European colonies. Description of populations as white in reference to their skin color predates this notion and is occasionally found in Greco-Roman ethnography and other ancient or medieval sources. But these societies did not have any notion of a white pan-European race. Scholarship or race distinguishes the modern concept. All right, so basically what that is saying is that, okay, here in America, we think that are these people who come from any European, I'm going to say that because I'm from the hood, and like anybody that looks European or Chinaman, anybody that is not of color has been deemed a white person. us, and that excludes Mexicans, because they are, you know, and these is the race quality, the race, I want to say not qualification, this is the race as classifications as me coming up in America in the late 70s, 80s, 90s. These are the classifications that I came up as when I came up in America. This is how people were classified. Now, what I was just reading before, it stated that white people, or what we consider as white people, was not classified as white people until the 17th century. And then, like, it says that even some of the Asian people or the Irish people wasn't even considered European or white, you know, as we blacks see it. Basically, the white people are the Europeans. They can be ranged from the it doesn't matter if they're Spanish, if they're Irish, if they're German, if none of that, you know, none of that matters to us as we see it as African Americans. We see them all as white. And that's not to be racist or anything. That's just, I guess, the program or how we was raised to see people. So, white supremacy. As you can see in what I read, it said that in the 17th century, that the white people, or that white race, the term white people and the white race came about because of the racialized slavery that was going on in the European colonies. So, and when the people started to colonize in the 1700s, in those European colonies, I'm gonna say started slavery, or they promoted slavery and began to enslave people of, I guess, what they would think is colored people of color. When they started to enslave people of color during the 17th centuries and stuff like that, in those white colonies, then the whites or the Europeans in those colonies began the racial divide, I would say, by distinguishing themselves as the white race or the white people to, in those colonies, you know, place themselves as supreme over the other people. So basically, I guess you could say, if you go and look on at any YouTube video, you know, we know that the white race, or what could be considered the white race of people, the white elites, even with now, with, what's his name? I don't even know why I can't think of his name, because everybody knows his name. With this guy, it just went out of my head, y'all. I don't even know why. Everybody know who he is. He wants to, he is the main one, is speaking on the Georgia guy it's a monument in Georgia, where they speak on, it's like a time capsule, or what they said it there is like a time capsule. What time capsules is, if people don't know, is, you know, something that is placed, you know, in the ground or in the water, or something that, you know, to show that is a trillion years passed by. If people was to find that item, they would know, you know, what happened in that trillion years, or just that information, whatever you put in that time capsule, will be able to, whoever opens it or finds it, you know, they'll be able to know what was going on in that time frame. So the Georgia guidelines, I think it's the guidelines, but it's like a big rock, and it has statements on there that's speaking about population control. And it's one guy who has a lot of money. I don't know why I can't think of his name. Why his name is just absolutely out of my mind right now. Like, I don't know why. But y'all know who he is, that always speaks on population control. And these are some of the things that the white elites do, and is you know, I don't want to say that. So what I was going to say, I'm sorry, y'all, that went right out of my head. I started looking at my notes here, and it juggled me up on what I was about to say. But anyways, let me get back on track, y'all. That just made me, it just fucked me up, because I can't think of his name right now, y'all. It's just messing me up. That's why I can't think, because I'm like, why I can't think of his name? But anyways, so white supremacy. I've done a show before on white supremacy, on ending white supremacy, and the reason why I said black supremacy versus white supremacy, because, you know, in order to end white supremacy, we have to have black supremacy. I'm going to say that again. In order to end white supremacy, we have to have not only black supremacy, we have to have black dominance in order to subside white supremacy. First of all, we have to understand that even the fact that white, that word white, like I was speaking before, the Europeans, they didn't even like consider themselves as white. Like, that term was only used to help, I guess you would say, it was used in slavery to help people to, you know, to not, I think it was just as effective as the Bible in helping the people to not know who they were, or to lose who they were as a person, as a people, you know. White, the word white and white supremacy is it's seemingly like it's the white people who are always upholding white supremacy, but not only do the white people or white race uphold white supremacy, because there are also black people or black elites who uphold white supremacy versus, you know, being supreme themselves, blacks on their own. So what I mean by that is, you know, we have black elitist parties who do who we can say the Boule, who does things to keep down to keep their own race of people at a level to where they can't we can't rise as a people, and to keep us separated as a people. And I think of them as like the enforcers of the white supremacy. I think the reason why we can't or why we haven't beaten white supremacy is because we don't understand white supremacy and the fact, especially black people, because we don't understand the concept that white supremacy has nothing, well, I can't say that it has nothing to do with white people, because white people uphold white supremacy, and it's like they do it blindly, like they don't even think that the concept of white supremacy is even, you know, a concept. Because, like, if you get into this debate, like, they know that all white people are Europeans and are not white. Not all Europeans, I want to say, or the pan-European race is not white. So they don't understand when, you know, us black people is saying that, you know, the whites is the problem or the bud of white supremacy. But the white people need to have the concept and understand the concept too, that the blacks and the African Americans here in America, they don't understand. A lot of people don't even have the very simple knowledge of understanding that not all Europeans are one race. Not all Europeans are one race up under the white race. If you know what I'm trying to say, like say for instance, like within the black community, blacks can come from anywhere in the world. And, you know, let me see what I was going to say on that. I take that back. All right, y'all. I wanted to get into this clip early today, because it's kind of long, like I said, and then I'm going to come back and further explain myself on the white supremacy and versus the black supremacy, because We need to end slavery.
And now, here is... And now, here is Dr. Jawanza Kanjufu with his penetrating presentation of Countering the Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys.
There is no topic that concerns me more than the one on the conspiracy to destroy black boys. And the reason is, my little boys are in preschool and primary grades, they're very innocent and very enthusiastic about learning. But something happens to that, and we need to find out what that is. My younger son is on the cover of this particular book, and I would like for him to grow up to be a man. Like many of you already told me, that you have sons and male students as well. Now, there's two parts of the conspiracy, Volume 1, and this is Volume 2. In Volume 1, we raised four questions. First question is, when did the conspiracy start? Who is against black boys? Why is there a conspiracy against them? And what exactly is the conspiracy? That's in Volume 1. In Volume 2, we look at the relationships between mothers and their sons that must be studied. We also must look at female teachers and black male students. That must also be studied. We must look at some case studies. In other words, many of us are doing a very good job developing black boys to be men. What is it that some of us are doing that others are not doing? And then last but not least, a program called the Rites of Passage into Manhood. See, it used to be we knew when black boys became men, but now many of us don't know when we're men. How much reefer we smoke, how much wine we drink, how many babies we make. Until black men spell it out to black boys what it means to be a man, this conspiracy will continue. But let's go back to Volume 1. When did it start? And as we begin to look at that, I want to also share with you why we call it a conspiracy to destroy black boys. You see, contrary to belief at birth, there are more black boys born in the world than there are girls. It's close, but it's 1.03 black boys born in the world to 1.0 black girls. Hear me clearly. At birth, black boys outnumber black girls 1.03 to 1.0. A brief 18 years later, it is now 1.0 available, and that's the key word, available black men, to 1.8 available black women. Almost two adult women for every one adult man. Now, the only question that should be going through your minds right now is what happened? We keep raising the wrong question. We keep asking, why do black men hang on corners? Why do black men lack direction? Well, if you ask this question, you're asking the question 18 to 30 years too late. It is not a conspiracy to destroy black men. It's a conspiracy to destroy black boys. If you destroy them as a boy, he'll never become a man. And I can look around a room and tell you, know, where are they? If they are not available to black women, where are they? Call the roll.
In jail?
In jail, there are 329,000 brothers in prison right now. One of every four brothers will go to prison. Where else? Or death. There are numerous ways that we die. There's homicide, suicide, drugs, war, high blood pressure, and the leading killer among black men, lung cancer. Our love for cigarettes, especially Cool. Smoke them all day long, die the exact same way. Cool. Where else? We have prison, death. What else would make us unavailable to black women? Yes, homosexuality. As you said earlier, one of every 9 men in this country are homosexual. Where else? Yes.
Hospitalized, institutionalized.
Okay, so institutionalization, and there's not only in terms of hospitals, but also mental institutions, and of course, when they get released, many times being homeless. There's still one other large popular area. Thimby?
They marry white women.
Okay, interracial marriages. Now I want to pause here for a moment, because you would think if anybody is going to marry outside the race, it would be black women. You got two black women for every one black man. But as Thimby pointed out, it's exactly the opposite. There are 164,000 interracial marriages, of which 116,000 are brothers. That means 48,000 sisters. It's almost a 2-to-1 ratio of black men to black women marrying outside the race. But remember, as you said in the earlier workshop, if the definition of beauty is light skin, long hair and blue eyes, why stop with Renee, the light skin sister? Why not get you the real thing? That's some serious problems here. And then black men tell me, I can't find a black woman to understand me. You mean out of 20 million black women, you can't find one to understand you? You don't need a white woman, you need a psychiatrist. But that's another workshop on relationships. But I just want to share with you, we got some very serious problems. But to tease this audience, black women are tired of being by themselves. And in the earlier issue of Essence magazine, the article said, guess who's coming to dinner now? Black women are tired of being by themselves. In other words, brothers, you can't have it both ways. You can't have two black women to choose from and still marry a white woman. You can't have it both ways. Black women are tired of being by themselves. Now, that's with regards to the stats, why we wrote the book, because we saw the shortage of black men. But what we want to begin to find out is, when did it start? You see, it's called a fourth grade syndrome. Studies show that black boys may be the best students in the country up until the fourth grade. So we wanted to find out what your son, a male student, was doing at the beginning of the third grade, then at the end of the seventh grade, and then measure the progress. Let me give you three examples. We had a little boy 5 years ago on an Ivy reading test score at the 98th percentile in the country. In other words, a walking genius. That means only 2% male, female, white or black had a higher score than he at the beginning of the third grade. At the end of seventh grade, the same boy now drops down to the 35th percentile. Engineer potential here. Pimp or pusher now. Score should have improved 5 years. Instead, they only improved 1.3. Two more examples. We had a little boy at the 92nd percentile. He dropped down to the 24th percentile, and his score has only improved 2.1. But let me give you the average example. We had a little boy at the 63rd percentile. He dropped down to the 4th percentile, and his score didn't improve a year, a month, a week, not even a day. There are three critical stages in black boys' development. Infancy to 9, 9 to 13, and 13 to 18. You see, it's easy to see the negative behavior here when he's already dropped out, laid up on some street corner lacking direction. It's more difficult to see it around 9 years of age, when they begin to sit further in the back of the class, when they begin to ask less questions, when their ball becomes more important than their book, when they begin to cheat on their tests. We appeal to you to turn your sons and male students on early. Teach them how to read early. Teach them the beauty of being black and believing in God early. But many of us have waited, and we have waited almost too late to develop black boys to be men. You know what I'm getting at. America spends $2,300 on Head Start. They spend $38,000 on prison. If Reagan wants to balance the budget, I can show you save about $36,000 per person. It's much easier to educate than it is to incarcerate. Now you raise the question, how long do you stay in Head Start? Year? 2 years at the most? How long do you stay in prison? The rest of your life? Question number one. Question number two, does Head Start work? A 19-year study documents that Head Start works, but in prison, 85% of the inmates to get released go right back in. But as Jesse Jackson said, we have two choices. We can either send me to Penn State or State Penn. It's your choice. We have got to find ways to intervene. Now, we have a whole workshop just on the fourth grade syndrome. I now want to ask you, what are some of the reasons you feel to explain why black students, especially black boys, were doing so well K through 3 and now scores declining in the intermediate and upper grades? What explains it? Yes.
I think the learning style changes abruptly in fourth grade from what might have been more right brain activities in the primary grades into all of a sudden all left brain activities.
Okay. So a change in learning styles or methodology from the teacher, from a holistic learning style to a left brain. Okay. Very good. Any others? Yes.
I think that there's a lot of rejection on the part of the female teachers in the classroom.
And the rejection increases with the upper grade? Why do you think it increases?
Because of the student, perhaps his natural makeup, hyperactivity, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing.
And that may be increasing? Well, it may be increasing because we're now expecting them to stay in school or stay in a chair even longer. Okay. Mm-hmm. Any others that contribute to this fourth grade syndrome? We have a change in learning style. We have the teacher's outlook on the student. What else? Yes.
The student becomes more culturally aware and differs significantly from the teacher mm-hmm. often.
Okay. So the child's now become more aware of their culture and racial identity. Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. Any others? The major reason you have not given yet, and maybe that's why this problem is still with us, Terry? First name is?
Richard.
I'm sorry, Richard.
Well, the peer group starts to form and become stronger about the peer group.
And that's unfortunate, Richard, that you said that, because as the age increases, peer pressure is on the increase, while parental involvement is on a decrease. I don't know who told parents when your child gets older, they need less of your time rather than more. When I speak to Head Start parents, 80% of them are there. Elementary school, 30%. High school, almost a joke. We have to work on that. That's another workshop, too, on parenting all the way through, not just in those quote-unquote tender years. But the major reason, it's not on the board yet. Still looking for it. Yes. Gwen?
I think, too, that young boys, and particularly young black boys, in the primary grades, they have many mother figures. and they have very few men figures, and particularly black male figures. And I think it makes a big difference come grade four.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think it's the major reason. And let me now give my first position. I sincerely believe that only men can make boys men. Now don't misquote me. I didn't say that a single female parent or female teacher cannot rear or educate her child. But she need not do that by herself. What she calls upon her father, her brother, an uncle, a male neighbor, a nephew, a coworker, there needs to be some men in our children's lives. I want to explain to me how a boy is going to grow up to be a man if he's never seen any. In order to be anything, you must see it first. Remember in the earlier workshop, and I'll go through this very quickly, from the University of Michigan, we wanted to find out what was a major influence on children. We said 1950, it was home, school, church, peer group, and television. And then we gave you 1980, home was still number one, peer group in a number two position, television three, school dropped down to number four, church last on the list. Let's go back to my statement. My statement says that only men can make boys men. Now let's see where blind boys are going to find men. Let's first of all look at his home. 62% of all black children live in a single-run household. It's a very good chance he would not find a man here. I'm going to hold off on the streets and drop down to television. Can you name me five positive adult black men on television outside the news? And you can't name Cosby because his show just started. Name me five.
Outside
the news.
Jefferson.
And you better not say George Jefferson. But they find very few black male role models on television. Now let's drop down to the schools. 83% of all elementary school teachers are women. 95% of all teacher aides are women. And when do men teach? After the critical fourth grade, or they're in upper grade, or they're a PE teacher, the janitor, or the principal. Very few before the fourth grade where black boys need them the most. And lastly, the church. Most young people, men, don't go to church. And the reason is we lie to them. First of all, we made Jesus Christ white. Mm-hmm. The man surely was not white. And we have a book called What Color Was Jesus to explain that. He had hair the texture of wool and feet the color of bronze. But secondly, the Lord's Prayer says on earth as it is in heaven. Young people and men want some action. They want some programs. If there are no programs in your church, they will see you later in heaven. As a result of not finding a man at home, few on television, few in school, and not wishing to attend church, the last place is the streets. And that's the problem. The streets do a very poor job making men. They do a better job making pimps, pushers, and a few basketball players. Their hero, Michael Jordan, has said there were 1 million brothers that won his job last year in the NBA. Of this million, only 400,000 will even make it to play high school ball. Of this 400,000, only 4,000 will make it to play college ball. Of this 4,000, only 35 will go to the coveted NBA. Of this 35, only 7 start. And the average life in the NBA is 4 years. You got 1 million brothers looking for 7 full-time jobs that last 4 years. This conspiracy is complex. It goes beyond the NBA. Even schools are in on it. What will be the first thing you see when you walk into a Cincinnati high school? A large trophy case. And that was even schools give more glory to their ball players than the scholars. That's been in the earlier workshop. Where are the pep rallies for the honor roll? In other words, even school, I can understand the NBA, but even schools give more glory to their ball players than their scholars. This conspiracy goes beyond the NBA, though. It goes beyond schools. Jesse Jackson is giving you the clue one more time. Is it not possible for a black man to be president? For a white woman to be president? For a black woman to be president? Is the club only reserved for European men? You didn't know that a white boy with a high school diploma makes more money than a white woman, black woman, or black man with a college degree? The motive for the conspiracy is clear. For the question of why is there a conspiracy, the answer is white male supremacy. In other words, white men are not afraid of women, black or white, because women have no power anywhere in this world. The threat to European men will come not from women, it will come from other men. And the best way to destroy black men is to destroy them as a boy. The motive is white male supremacy. But before you get comfortable blaming somebody else, let me make sure we're clear. On a conspiracy, there would always be two. You see, you have the active conspirators, and you have the passive conspirators. See, it's like child abuse. There were always two. You have the father who does the beating, active. But you have the mother who turns her back, passive. Isn't apathy, indifference, low expectations, buying hot goods in the black community, isn't that also part of a conspiracy? You have the active and you have the passive. In a conspiracy, there will always be two. Let me now give you the starting lineup. We'll start with the active one first and then move to the passive. Leading off, batting in the number one position, representing this country, institutional racism.
Batting first is the president.
He bats in the number one position. Batting second, representing the Trilateral Commission, the Fortune 500, big business, David Rockefeller bats number two. Batting third, representing the military complex. You didn't know, black people, 12% of the population, one-third of the military, and died 41% of the time in the Vietnam War.
The chief of staff.
Bats number three. Batting fourth, and I don't mean Marlon Brando. I mean the real godfather. Drugs running rampant in the black community. Please don't deceive yourself. If America is the number one power in the world, they could police their borders to stop the drug traffic. Mm-hmm. These men and what they represent intentionally want to make sure the black boys never grow up to be men. But remember, they got some help from some of us who really like black boys, who may even have black boys at home, just didn't know any better. And so we bat number five through nine. Batting fifth, not all, but some mothers who raise their daughters and love their sons. Batting sixth, some female teachers who don't understand that boys have different learning style than girls. Batting seventh, representing the media in this country, shows like Gary Coleman and Webster. Shows that make me sick. Shows that illustrate that black men cannot raise intelligent black boys to be men. In other words, we need a white father for Gary Coleman and for Webster. It's all part of the media image. It goes all the way back to Tarzan, all the way back to Superman, all the way back to Rambo, to Rocky, all part of white male fantasy trying to control the world. It's all part of esteem. Make sure you heard me. It's consistent with Superman, Tarzan, Santa Claus, the white father, all part of that scheme. Batting eight, the macho image, Mr. T, and we'll look at today someone like Prince or Magic Johnson or Isaiah Thomas. In other words, no need to study, get to be macho, get to be a superstar. In other words, Mr. T, Prince for entertainment, Isaiah Thomas of Magic for sports. And then last but not least, a black woman by the name of Kathy, who will do anything for a man, and a black man by the name of Willie, who does not feel good about himself. You see your faces right now. Who's Kathy? You have to stay to the end to find out who's who. The starting lineup, Reagan, Rock. No, you don't know who Willie is, but we got a new theory for you now. We used to end with Donna and Kathy, but now we're going to give you the Eddie Willie theory. We have a new one. So we have Ronald Reagan, David Rockefeller, Casper Weinberger, the Godfather, some mothers. I didn't say all, some. Some mothers, some female teachers, the media image, macho and sports, and Kathy and Willie. These people and what they represent, intentionally or subconsciously, want to make sure that black boys never grew up to be men. Let's now look at the active ones first. I want to make sure we start in the right place. The conspiracy did not start with black mothers. It started somewhere else. We must start where it began. It began with active conspirators. I want to now look at them first. In looking at the active conspirators, I want to make sure we understand that these kind of terms don't make sense. We are not the minority. In other words, there are 4.5 billion people living in the world. Of this number, 80% of the world's population has color. That means only 20% of the world's population lacks color. Now you tell me who's a minority. You see, it's called the African Triangle. It goes all the way back. We're not the minority. We're only a minority. We allow ourselves to be divided up from our brothers and sisters in Nigeria, in Jamaica, in the United States. Look at this African Triangle. After all these years, other than the way we're dressed, you can't tell who's who. There are 1 billion people living in China alone, and we are second. 500 living in Africa, 160 living in Central and South America, 40 million living here in the United States. We are not the minority. Now, the question is, how can so small control so much? That's why I respect them so much. Think about it. You have a gang. You have one gang with 80 people, another gang with 20, and the 20 going to win? The only way they can do that is by controlling the mind. Because whoever controls the mind will also control the body. Let's look at this. Let's break this down in half. What you come up with is 10% European women and 10% European men. See, it's not even 20. It's really 10% European men.
In other words, the Trilateral Commission, they want to control more than just their countries. They want to control the world.
And they have pulled this off. Now, there's a tremendous amount of pressure when you're this small trying to control so much. Now, maybe you can't understand it. It's been a long time. Goes back to Egypt for us, having that much power. But can you imagine that small number trying to control the world? A tremendous amount of pressure is on that small group with that much power. In other words, the first thing that men are taught to do is not to cry. I'm quoting from their own Goldberg. The book is called The Hazards of Being a Male. The tremendous pressure when you're so small trying to control so much. The first thing that men are taught to do is not to cry. Think about it. Ever seen Ronald Reagan cry? John Wayne cry? They die with their boots on. They die in their saddles. They die like men. Now, any psychologist will tell you that crying may avoid suicide later. But as a result of European men not crying, European men commit suicide more than anybody else. Black men who want so much to be like European men are very close second. European women are third, and the most sane person in America, she don't make no money, but stay close to God and her children and cry. Black women commit suicide less than anybody else. Give yourself a hand clap. In other words, if you think that money is the source of all your happiness, they make more money than anybody else. But they obviously are not happy. In other words, money may not be the key. Putting God and your children first may be the key. Poorest people in America commit the least amount of suicide. First thing men are taught to do is not to cry. Second thing men are taught to do is to ignore pain. Got hypertension? Shake it off. Cancer? Shake that off too. Monday Night Football. Walter Payton goes off the field with a busted knee. Comes back on a half hour later and the Holocaust sells it. Oh, what a man. The man was crazy to go back on the field. But you see, men are taught to be macho, to ignore pain. Not women. When women's finger bleeds, to the doctor's office. Women take care of themselves, but not men. You know what's gotten so bad? The studies have now documented that when men are married, they live longer. That's an insult to my intelligence. It means that I cannot live long by myself. I got to leave my mama and go to my wife. Because if I don't, I'm probably going to smoke cigarettes, drink liquor, and eat a lot of pork on the streets. But with women, annual checkup, that's what they encourage men to do, drink a regular amount of water, and eat a salad on a regular basis. What am I getting at? European women, they say they're so oppressed. European women live at 77 years of age. Black women live at 75 years of age. European men die at 69 years of age. And black men die at 64.8. Albert, you and I die before the first Social Security check. That law needs to be changed. The Lord, for we aren't living long to collect on the payment. This is science. I'm gonna die 10 years before my wife. This is not theoretical. It's not just my son here. It's my life here and your life. Can I not live as long as my wife? 10 years before her? Men are first of all taught not to cry. Secondly, they're taught to ignore pain. And then last but not least, they're taught to bring home the bacon. What I say as a vegetarian, to bring home the fruit and the vegetables. In other words, to bring home the money. Ronald Reagan knows this. Rockefeller knows this. There's a best way to destroy black men. It's denied them the opportunity to work. You know what I'm getting at. Because Bill Moyers didn't tell you that was Vanishing Black Family documentary. One of every three marriages in this country, black or white, ends in a divorce in 18 months. Now you see, it used to be if you got a divorce, something was wrong with you. But when you have a stat this high, something must be going on in our society. I now want to explain what that is. When America believed in agriculture, America believed in extended family. When America believed in the factory industrialism, America believed in the nuclear family. But now that America believes in the computer, now America believes in a single-parent family. Make sure you see my analysis. When the economy changed, the family structure changed. There was more than love in these relationships. There was some money involved here. Our grandparents worked the fields together. Had economic reason to stay together, and so they did. In a factory, man works in factory, woman takes care of children. Economic reason again to stay together. But in this new economy, where you now have women working just as much, if not more, than men, you now hear women telling men, I don't need you. Got my own job. Do what I want to do when I want to do it. And we are now doing it very well and by ourselves. You know the number one song in America a couple of years ago, Ain't Nothing Going On But the Rent. If you want to be with me, you got to have a J-O-B. It's all about money. All about money. When the economy changed, the family structure changed. And so now we have a lot of people making plenty of money and lonely. They place money before family. You see, black men want to do what white men do. Buy their family a house in the suburbs, two cars, and once a year go down to Orlando for Disney World vacation. And when black men can't do that, they don't feel they're worthy enough to stay. Now you see, the problem is there are two responses black women can give to black men when they're out of work. Now the first response some women say is, well, if you ain't working, you got to go. If you ain't working, you got to go. That's a mistake. Because black men don't hire nor fire, nor control the means of production. Now, before black men say, that's right, brother, you tell them. Please, brothers, quit assuming that black women took our jobs away. Because black women also do not hire nor fire. We are being played off against each other for some crumbs. We recommend the second response. For black women to say to that man, well, if you ain't working, can you at least go back to school? Can you at least learn a skill? Or at least make dinner or wash dishes while I'm gone? But the problem is there are very few black men that look to black women for definition of manhood. Black men, as I said earlier, want to do what white men do. And that means be the breadwinner. What I'm getting at is we're going to have to redefine what it means to be a man. Because if being a man means being the provider, with 25% of black men out of work, that's a suicidal definition. You see, if I lose my job tomorrow, I'm still a man. As long as I'm responsible, treat my wife correctly, raise my children, that's responsibility. I'm not going to allow my employer to reduce my masculinity. I need to define what being a man is. And I think it's a perfect balance between the mental, the spiritual, and the physical. Not being a breadwinner, but a balance between the mental, physical, and the spiritual. Isn't it interesting? You have two black men. Both lose their jobs. One black man resorts to crime, leaves his home. He's been reduced by the society. The other black man sells newspapers, sells peanuts, does whatever he can to take care of his family. Same economic situation, but a different set of values. We have to work on that. A new definition can resolve this problem. I'm not belittling money. You have to have money living in America, but that's not the criteria for manhood. Boys make babies. Men take care of them. That's the definition. One more comment here. I mentioned earlier in our past workshop on the peer group, let me share with you here this dichotomy where you have the mental over here and you have the physical over here. You see, a real problem is our boys have a difficult time finding a balance in the middle. I mentioned earlier homosexuality, and the figure is 1 of every 9 men in this country are homosexuals. It's going to increase. And the reason is because we've been so skilled to the physical, being macho, that when our boys want to be on the honor roll, they're labeled sissies. Want to be involved in fine arts, labeled sissies. Want to be open, honest, communicative, labeled sissies. When you label something long enough, you begin to act that way. So you have the homosexuals over here, and you have the athletes, the machos, over here. Tremendous dichotomy between these two. We have got to find some men that can teach black boys and Hispanic boys the balance between the physical and the mental. There's simply too much pressure over here. It's hard to find the balance, and women can't teach this. Only a man can do this. We need more black men who can do both of these areas, physically balanced and mentally balanced, and spiritual in the middle. Comments, questions about what is a man? We've been looking at male behavior. Any comments or questions? Yes, Gwen?
Explain what you meant by saying women raise their daughters.
We're coming to that, Gwen. Matter of fact, I think it's probably the next point. Matter of fact, it is. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the next point. See, we were looking at the active conspirators, and we were looking at what the effect that causes on us in terms of male behavior. And we may not be able to control or to change Reagan, Rockefeller, Weinberger, but your question we can change. We can look at some mothers. And I said some, not all. The rumor is that some mothers raise their daughters and love their sons. My boy always loved his mama. 40 years of age, still went home with you. That needs to stop. Your boy is not yours. He is a future husband, a future father, and needs to be raised that way. Now, what do I mean by raised? Teach your son how to cook, to make up his own bed, to clean up his own bathtub ring because you raised your daughter. On the honor roll, every marking period. Go to church with you every Sunday. And she can cook, sew, iron, and clean. All but then we have your son. Ain't never seen an honor roll. He plays basketball all evening long. Never goes to church and can't boil a hot dog. The rumor is we have some, not all, raising their daughters and loving their sons. Now, I know the historical reason. The historical reason is our societies always try to destroy black men. The lynchings. So black mothers always want to overprotect their sons. What's the reason today? I know the KKK is on the rise. But what's the reason today? Is it because your own black man didn't stay? You now replaced your man with your son? Your son is not yours. He's a future husband, a future father, and needs to be raised that way. Quit telling these 9-year-old boys they're the man of the house. Ain't no 9-year-old boy ready to be no man or hound. But because you told him that, he now begins to wonder. When you then bring over your man for the evening, Mom, I thought I was the man of the house. Why are you bringing him over? You can't have it both ways. If he's going to be the man of the house, quit bringing your boyfriend over on Saturday night. You know what's sad, though? These brothers think what they can do with their mama, they can do with their teacher, their coach, and everybody else. In other words, living at home with you in a $100 pair of gym shoes, $80 pair of a Gucci handbag. In other words, these boys have mastered how to manipulate their mamas. And they think what they can do with you, they can do with everybody else. Only to find out what you let them get away with, no one else does. In other words, 90% of all teenage pregnancy programs counsel the women. We have teenage pregnancy running rampant. But as far as the last time I looked, it took two to make a baby. But 90% of the programs let the brothers off the hook. The real question is, who is going to teach black boys to be responsible? And you don't start when he makes a baby. In other words, the real question is, who's going to teach black boys to be responsible for his personal hygiene, for his clothes, for his chores, for his room, for his siblings, for his allowance, for his studies, for his toys, for his schedule, and then his sex life? You don't start responsibility at 16. It starts very early. For example, when I was growing up, my father opened up a mutual fund account for me. And every year on my birthday, explained to me, this is how much money you have in your account. But if you make a baby, all your money is going to take care of your child. Should it be any different? If I enjoy making it, should I also take care of it? So my oldest son was 15. I've been doing the same thing with him, the 9-year-old and the 15-year-old. So he told me last year, he said, Daddy, this money looks so good to me, I've just decided I'm not ever making me a baby. I'm keeping all my money to myself. But the point is, the boy understands responsibility. He understands if I make a baby, you will take care of it. There are mothers who know their son impregnated some girl on the same block, and they say, well, you know, boys will be boys.
Yeah.
They will be whatever you let them be.
Yeah.
I want to pause now. Explain this. Why are some mothers raising their daughters and loving their sons? Did you grow up in a household where you did more work if you had a sister than your brothers did? Why is that? And you know what else I believe? I believe that child rearing has a lot to determine in marriage. In other words, marrying a mama's boy is a very critical mistake. Because they can always go back to their mamas. Son, your room is just the way it always was. Got your favorite pound of cake whenever you want to get there. It is terrible marrying a mama's boy. Comments. It's my water break. Give me some feedback on mothers with their sons. What do you think of my analysis?
It's devastating. It's on target.
Any other concern about mothers and their sons?
The boys will be boys is real bad.
Right.
That's exactly where you keep them as boys.
Right.
Whereas if you teach them to be responsible, they will grow up to be men. Okay. Well, more apt to be anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of mothers.
You know, the shortage of men in the church, that can be corrected by taking our sons to church. The sons can stay home. It's optional to them, but not the daughters. In terms of playing outside, daughters in at a certain hour. The sons all night long. Double standards. Make the daughters stay, but not the sons. See, my point is, if black women, I'm coming right to you, if black women know what problems they have with their own black man, why don't they correct it with your son? See, if you know what the problems are with black men, your little son, that's somebody else's husband. All what you know needs to be done, put that into your son. Right, why perpetuate? If you really love your sister.
Mm-hmm.
If you really love your sisters, correct the problem with your son. Yes, sir.
Isn't it hard to do, though, because the mother loves the child so much and it hurts the mother to whip the child and see the child hurt so the child will continue to rule?
No.
But that's interesting. They love their daughters, too, but they whip their daughters.
The phenomenon is that the mothers are also spoiling some daughters.
True, but you don't spoil some daughters, and we don't have enough of these men there to do it.
Yeah.
Father,
yeah.
That's my baby. In other words, it's very interesting. See, when the father's there, see, it's something about a black man or a father
right.
Seeing this male, his same size, sitting on his sofa, eating up all the food. Boy, you got to go. But see, his daughter can stay there as long as she wants. But see, the mother knows the daughter. And so the mothers, you got to go too. See, mothers make the daughters go, and fathers make the sons go. But when the father's not there, there's nobody to make the son go. Okay. Yes, one more, then we got to go on. Yes, ma'am.
I also
think it has something to do with the norms that are set in the system, too. And we try to emulate those as black people. Think, for example, I was brought up on a farm and everybody worked together. But then in society now says the male has a role, the girl has a role. So the parents try to perpetuate that.
Correct. And what's sad about that is you can't fault the black man who you marry not wanting to wash dishes. He wasn't forced to wash dishes at home. So you can't fault him when he marries you.
You have to teach him early.
Have to teach him early. Teach him early. Next issue, female teachers. We're also very concerned about female teachers. Remember, the exact percentage is 83% in the elementary grades. The number of black children in public schools, 17%. But black children are 41% of all the special ed children. Now, 17 doesn't equal 41. LD, learning disabled, EMR, educable mentally retarded, BD, behavior disorder. It gets worse. If a black child is going to be labeled special ed, 85% of the time it's going to be a black boy. Why is it not 50-50 black boy, black girl? Well, the reason may not be with just black children, Bill Moyers and Patrick Monahan. It may be up here at the top. It may be that female teachers may not know that boys are different than girls. You all didn't know that, didn't you? That boys are different than girls. I only want the women to answer. The men know they're different. I want to now hear the women to share with us what are some of the differences between boys and girls in the classroom. Because only when you know what the differences are can you then change your methodology to meet the needs of their learning style.
Well,
yes?
Boys are generally more active, okay. More inquisitive.
Okay, the boys are more active.
Yeah.
What else?
They're more physical.
More physical? Okay, more aggressive. What else? Mm-hmm. Come on now, you all got the boys playing what they do.
I think the boys are more egotistical.
Okay, so large ego?
Large ego. And
okay,
you have to
got a good group. Any others?
They're not quite as willing to please either as little girls.
Okay, so less cooperative. And we just want to add a few more because of time. To reinforce, we find the boys are more aggressive, are more athletically inclined, have a shorter attention span, a slower maturation rate, as you said, are less cooperative, are larger than the girls, influenced more by their peer group, more advanced gross motor than fine motor, not as neat as girls, are louder than girls, like wearing hats on their head, have a different walk, have a larger ego, and last but not least, play the dozen more than girls. Do you know how many teachers, especially white teachers, white female teachers, don't know what the dozens are? Don't know what signifying is? Now remember, we live in a world controlled by men. Males want to find out who's the best, or as they say, who's the baddest. Now remember, in school the rule is you can't fight, but they still want to find out who's the best. They create a new game called dozens, signifying. It is a verbal word game of the most prized person in the black community. Now, who is the most prized person in the black community? Your mama. We're going to talk about your mama right now. I saw your mama on the railroad track, looked at her and said, ooh, get back. It's a verbal word game. Now, the game is designed, it's a verbal word game of the most prized person, your mama. Now, if you break down and start fighting, you getting kicked out of school, so I automatically win. If you break down and start crying, again, I automatically win. Now, before I go on, do you know how many black boys have been suspended or placed in special ed because they were playing the dozens? Do you know how many teachers don't understand those same two black boys who were playing the dozens, really getting down each other's mamas, were the best of friends 2 seconds later? They didn't understand the culture. Now don't misquote me. I'm not condoning the dozens nor black English, but they both exist. And if you want to move a child from one to the other, it may not be what you say. It may be how you're saying it. In other words, black English. First day of school. 5-year-old girl walks into your classroom, speaking what she heard, black English. When you condemn the language, you've done more than condemn the language. You're now destroying a child's self-esteem. The language is legitimate, has different rules to it. It exists, legitimate rules to it. And if you want to move a child from black English to standardized English, you don't condemn him. You make him feel good where he is. If you weren't on Albert, there are some skills to playing a dozen. I'm a former teacher, and I had some very good dozen players. There are some skills to playing a dozen. First of all, you have to have an expanding vocabulary. You have to have the ability to make words rhyme. You have to have quick thinking skills. You have to be comfortable with public speaking. And I knew that. So I used to tell Willie, my best student, Willie, if you were that good playing a dozen, making words rhyme, vocabulary, all the like, I want you to be the MC at all my programs. I want you in my drama department or my spelling bee team. In other words, I stroked him. I made him feel good where he was. And then he was willing to give me those skills in my classroom.
Mm-hmm.
But the real issue is, do we let these boys know we respect their culture? Because if you condemn it, they will fight you every step of the way. And you know what else they will do? They will also fight you in what we call the showdown. The showdown between black boys and female teachers. You see, black boys don't know when they're men. And black men have not made it clear to them when they become men. So they think taking a female teacher one-on-one is going to make them a man. Especially around fourth grade. From fourth grade on, they want to find out who's in charge of class. It's called a showdown. There are numerous options in a showdown between a black male and a female teacher. Showdown number one. She says, sit down, very unassertively. Well, Willie may sit down, but it may be late on in the afternoon. Willie wins showdown number one. Showdown number two. She responds to Willie some of the time, but not all the time. She's inconsistent. Well, I believe Willie wins each one of those she does not respond to. Showdown number three. She says, I'm going to suspend you or place you in special ed. We may lose to the assistant principal or special ed placement, but he did not do what she said. He wins showdown number three. Showdown number four. She says very assertively, sit down now. You know how the good ones do it? They look at you. Strong eye contact. They look you back in line. And she wins showdown number four. Showdown number five. She responds to Willie each and every time. She's consistent. And she wins each one of those showdowns. Then the last one. A friend of mine in Chicago told me she had a boy who thought he was so bad, he was not going to stand up. He was going to run to class sitting down. He's going to make her nervous. He's going to look at her and smile at her. So every time Audrey looked at him, he looked back and smiled. But then Audrey looked back with the same strength and smiled. This went on all day long. Willie looked and smiled. Audrey looked back and smiled. At the end of class, so many words, Willie came to Audrey and said, okay, I understand that you are in charge of this class. But the reason is she's done three things well. She, first of all, loves him, and he knows that. She respects him, and he knows that. And she also respects his culture, and he knows that. Because of that, there is no showdown, because he knows that she is in charge of the class. What I'm getting at, to return back to this, if you know that boys have a shorter attention span, what should that do to your lesson? Make it shorter or make it more interesting? If you understand that boys are more advanced gross motor than fine motor, what should you allow more in your classroom? More hands-on learning activities. In other words, my point is, if you understand that boys have different learning styles, rather than taking them out of your class and putting them in special ed, why don't you alter your learning style, your methodology? But you know what I'm saying? Most principals know that 5% of their teachers make over 30% of the referrals. If that's the case, why remove the child? Why don't you remove the teacher? How is the child doing so well in third grade with a good teacher and now label EMR in fourth grade? It may not be the child. It may be the teacher. It's really a shame we can't stay on this longer on learning styles. Hyperactivity, that's a value judgment. If you know what hyper is, God must have told you what normal is. Hyper is a value judgment. It may not be that blind boys are hyperactive. It may be the lesson plans are simply too slow. Think about that the next time you want to place a child in special ed. Some other issues. I want to wrap up with regards to what is the conspiracy to destroy black boys. I believe the conspiracy is made up of white male supremacy, institutional racism, lack of black male role models, the male socialization process, parental apathy and double standards, low teacher expectations, a female designed classroom, a distorted media, and an influential peer group. In terms of the question of what is the conspiracy, I know you can't take all those down the way I gave them to you, so please read the book. I won't repeat them again, but those are the major factors that make up what is the conspiracy to destroy black boys. Male supremacy, institutional racism, lack of male role models, male socialization process, parental apathy, raising their daughters and loving their sons, low teacher expectations, a female-designed classroom, a distorted media, and an influential peer group. Now, what I want to begin to look at is, what can the home do to stop the conspiracy to destroy black boys? It's not enough to describe it. Remember, the book is called Countering the Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys. I want to look at it from the home, from the classroom, from the community, and then we'll give you the Donna Willie theory, or the Donna Kathy theory and the Eddie Willie theory. In terms of the home, in order to stop this conspiracy, we must first of all become aware. I believe the first way to stop any problem is to know the problem exists, to study. We have got to study more. And then we, especially women, have got to admit that boys need role models, especially male role models. And after we admit that, then we need to identify some male role models that will play that kind of position with our boys. And please don't lie to me and say you don't know any. In other words, on your block, in your extended family, where you work at, please don't say you don't know at least one positive black male. In other words, just because a biological father is not there, does not mean there's not some other black men available. We believe in extended family concept. We also want you to set a contract on what this man will do with your son on an ongoing, regular basis. And for the fathers, please quit taking your sons only to the ball game and to the zoo. It's amazing. Fathers take their sons to the zoo and to a ball game. When it's time to go to the grocery store or to the barbershop, go with your mama. In other words, I believe that black boys know an awful lot by seeing you in very natural situations, at the oil change, at the barbershop, just talking smack on the street. So please quit thinking that you can only interact with your children in some child-centered activities. They need to see what you do on an ongoing, regular basis. We must also work on black boys' fine motor development. In other words, early on, in kindergarten, we're labeling black boys as being behind because the girls work with crayons, pencils, and scissors. The boys have been working with trucks. We have to work on black boys' fine motor development. We also have to work on a non-sexist household. In other words, teach your son how to cook, how to sew, how to clean. We also recommend you teach your son sex education and before 12 years of age. The studies show we're teaching children sex ed after they've already started. It should be before, not after. They've already made a baby after 12 and 13. We have to work on that. We must also monitor the peer group. You know, good parents have always done a number of things well with the peer group. First of all, good parents know who their children's friends are. They invite them over to get to know them better. And many times parents program the peer group to make sure their child runs with the right group. My parents enrolled me on a track team. I had to run cross country, indoor, and outdoor track. Rather than running around a gang, they had me running around a track. My parents did that intentionally to make sure. Good parents also monitor television. TV cannot be turned on by itself. Quit blaming the television set. We must also look at us. And then last but not least, we must listen to our children. Many times they tell me, my parents don't listen to me. That's why the peer group is winning. The peer group listens. Many times we don't. You know, the average father only spends 7 minutes with his children. The average mother, 34 minutes. That's a tragedy. But if that's all you're spending, make sure it's quality time. Make sure you're listening to them. We recommend these strategies for the home. For the school, we recommend the following. First of all, again, we always believe in study. We must first of all become aware there's a conspiracy to destroy black boys. After that, we must increase male teachers. My first desire is to increase male staff. My second one would be those in the upper grades, at least for 1 year to teach in the lower grades. In other words, what I recommend is that we have more black men before fourth grade, or at least in the intermediate division. In addition to that, if we cannot get this, we want more black role models coming into the school. If we cannot get them on staff, the least we can do is invite black men in. I encourage black men to volunteer in your local school because the men are not there, so we need to have you there. In addition to that, we also want to change the symbol for change is a triangle, to change the methodology, to begin to use a right brain learning activity. In other words, more hands-on learning objects, in terms of fine arts, artifacts, pictures, and the like. We also recommend that we emphasize academics over athletics. We must give more glory to academic achievement than we do athletic achievement. These are the strategies we recommend for the school. To one, study it, increase male teachers, increase role models, look at a right brain learning style, and emphasize academics over athletics. Lastly, for solutions, we also want to look at the community. The community has a program to destroy black boys. We must have one to protect and develop black boys. One program is the Boy Scouts. It's an excellent program. It teaches black boys skills. But the problem is the Boy Scout master may be homosexual, may not know black history. The Boy Scouts may be nothing more than the junior army. But it's an excellent program. It teaches black boys skills, but it may not do anything else. Another program is Big Brothers, an excellent concept. It gives black males a role model. But the Big Brother may be homosexual, may not know black history. If so, the conspiracy is going to continue. What we recommend is you blend Boy Scouts skills, Big Brothers, role models, into an African program called Simba, S-I-M-B-A, Simba. It's the African word for young lion. And we now have 17 Simba chapters across the country. These are programs where black men are not talking about the problem, they are working on it. These are black men who've organized themselves to work with black boys to teach them skill, give them a role model, teach them black culture, and the major objective to go through the rite of passage in a manhood. At my church in Chicago, we have a Simba program where in February during Black History Month or during December during Kwanzaa, we take our boys who've gone through our criteria and through a special ceremony called the rites of passage. I repeat, you have some black men talking about what they are going to do. You have some black men organized to begin to work on that kind of issue. We recommend Simba. It blends all three of those together. Closing point, and then we'll open up for some questions. Donna and Kathy, I mentioned at the very outset that one of every two husbands physically abuses his wife. Now, many of the problems only with the men who did the beating. There's more to it than that. You see, any respectable woman will make it very clear to her man, you put a hand on me, and either I'm leaving or you better not go to sleep. There are two kind of women in America, and they go by the names of Donna and Kathy. You see, I sincerely believe this. I believe that men know who to beat and who not to. I believe that. And I believe that men are not going to respect women until women, first of all, respect themselves. And there are two kind of women in America, Donna and Kathy. Now, Donna feels very good about herself. She would like to have a man, but she don't have to have one. I mean, the son was still sad. God will still be first in her life. Donna wants one, but she ain't got to have one. But then you get Kathy, taking in your way, comes through the door with another woman, with a bottle, with a ball of fist. All Kathy wants is a man, and a half a man will do. I want all the Kathys to raise their hands. You know, I've yet across the country see a sister admit to me that she's a Kathy. You know what they tell me? They say, Juwanza, well, I'm a Donna during the weekday, but I'm a Kathy on the weekend. Well, I'm Donna summertime and a Kathy the other half. It's hard being Donna in America when you have two women for every one man. It's easy to lower your standards. If you want to be a Kathy in America, the theory goes like this. For every sister we can get to quit acting like Kathy and to begin to act like Donna, what this means is less Kathy and more Donna. As a result of having fewer Kathys and more Donnas, we would have fewer brothers taking advantage of women like Kathy and have to expect more women like Donna. I am tired of women always blaming the brothers. The last time I looked, you still determined who gets your phone number, who takes you out, and every step along the way. It's hard being a Donna in America. If you want to be a Donna, there may be some lonely Friday and Saturday nights. But if you believe in you, you'll have peace of mind. If you want to be a Donna in America, it means you go back to school, get off of welfare, learn you a skill for a career to take care of yourself. If you want to be a Donna in America, it means you will quit watching them soap operas all day long, especially all of my children, and begin to take care of your own. If you want to be a Donna in America, it means you will quit eating those cookies and chocolates all evening long. You know, the rumor is the older women get, the bigger you get. Watch what you eat and exercise. And then last but not least, if you want to be a Donna in America, you need to put God first in your life. You didn't know, it takes longer for boys to grow up, and some boys never grow up. But rather than marrying a boy as a Catholic making a mistake, we encourage you to wait. But while you're waiting, don't complain. Keep developing yourself. So when the brothers finally get ready, you'll be ready too. A good marriage still takes two and not one. Now, as you well know, Gwen, we used to end with the Donna Kathy theory. But the women got on our case in Juwanza. If you're going to talk about the conspiracy to destroy black boys, don't end it talking about us. End it where you started it, with the brothers. So I now want to give you the Eddie Willie theory. Eddie is dedicated to my father. His name is Eddie, and I believe he's a very strong example of a black man. There are two kind of men in America, Eddie and Willie. Willie makes babies. Eddie takes care of them. In other words, Willie believes it's not the quality, it's the quantity. Willie has made a lot of babies. Eddie believes in not only taking care of them, he hugs them. He believes that men should hug their children, works with them on their homework. Eddie takes care of them. Willie makes them. Point number one. Point number two, Willie only works, and maybe not even then, outside the house. Eddie works inside and outside. In other words, Willie may cut the grass. He may rake leaves, but he definitely is not working inside the house. Because men work outside and women work inside. But not Eddie. Eddie believes in whatever it takes. Washing dishes, making dinner, whatever it takes. And then last but not least, Willie is very insecure. And so Willie verbally and physically abuses his woman, but not Eddie. Eddie's very secure. In other words, Eddie encourages woman to go back to school, to get a promotion on her job. Eddie encourages his woman to go to church. You know what I even heard? Eddie goes to church with her. And the reason is Eddie is his wife's best friend. And because of that, he understands that putting his woman down is not the key. The key is feeling good about yourself. When you feel good about yourself, there's no need to put anybody down. I want all the Donalds and all the Eddies to stand up and give yourselves a very strong round of applause. Thank you very, very much.
That was given in this clip. I really like this clip and I wanted to play it. It doesn't necessarily give us black supremacy versus white supremacy, but it's important in the sense of knowing black supremacy and boys gaining confidence. And the concept of the thought of black supremacy being able to overcome white supremacy. Black supremacy being a tool as in blacks having confidence in themselves, no more fear, taking control, black men being accountable, black women coming into their femininity and the black man and woman coming together to raise the frequency of the black community, to bring the community together, to bring the black community into their supremacy. At the same time, ending white supremacy by arming ourselves with the knowledge of ourselves. Then when we arm ourselves with the knowledge of ourselves, then we can go forth and take control. We can then decide where do we want to go as a people? Where do we go from here? Where do we go from coming from 400 years of slavery or the mindset? How do we come out of, finally and forever, come out of the concept of mindset of slavery and white supremacy? White supremacy in the sense of not only the white race, you know, feeling supreme over the blacks, but in the sense of the government who backs a people or a race. And it's, like I said, white supremacy is not only upheld by white people or what we consider as white people, the Europeans. It's not only upheld by those people because, you know, it's a lot of people who were white, who were back in the day what's called abolitionists, who were actually on the sides of blacks, who did not participate. Well, I ain't gonna say they didn't participate, but they helped blacks to gain, to overcome. They hid out blacks. They did what they could to help blacks and to not, you know, put themselves in danger in doing that, but they helped. So what I'm saying is we have to arm ourselves with the knowledge of what the true definition of white supremacy is and who is white supremacy and what is white supremacy and who actually carries out white supremacy. Now, I've done a show before on white supremacy, and I may do another show so that you will know what white supremacy is. But being in America, most people know what white supremacy is. Now, a lot of whites, I don't know if they fully know or understand the concept of white supremacy because, you know, they don't seem to think that they have any white privileges or any of that, but how can you say that when you know that there are laws and things that are set up to where I'm trying to figure out the right words to say to how to say it, y'all. The reason why it seemed like I'm just stopping. I just want to say it the right way so that you understand what I'm saying. The premise of this show the reason I brought this show forward today is because ultimately, in order for us to get reparations as a people, as a black people, we're going to have to stomp out white supremacy and the bully and the people who uphold white supremacy. And that's not always the white person. It can sometimes be black people, some people with your same color. And sometimes, you know, we as people, we do things unbeknownst to ourselves because of the programming ran on a mass basis in society and other factors. But the whole thing about it is, in order for us to come together as a people, black men, white men, brown, it doesn't matter. In order for us to go into what could be peace on earth or one world order. In order for us to all be together and to store, to love thy neighbor and to have love for one another, there shouldn't be any supremacy. There shouldn't be one race who is higher than the other or even try to place themselves higher than the other. A lot of it stems from racism and plain old hate. And when it boils down to it, it stems from the hate of self. You may think it's because you hating other people, but in a sense, you're hating yourself because you are not like the other people. So it's a big breakdown. It's a big whole psychology of the thing. The guy in the clip was able to, did I get his name? I didn't write his name down, y'all. I'm so sorry. I did not write his name down in the clip. I will actually put this in my, on the post in Facebook so that you can go and check this clip out in other clips like this. But just to get back onto to the reason for this show, the black supremacy versus white supremacy. So in the end, there should, like I said, be no supremacy. But will we be able to reign supreme or to to understand ourselves, to love ourselves, to get to know ourselves, to I don't know why it seems like I'm a little out of whack today or whatever. It's like I'm all over the place, but and I can't get out what I'm trying to say. I should have wrote it down, and I'm going to make myself write this stuff down because I'll be thinking of a whole lot of stuff, and then when I get here, it's like tonight, it's just totally going out of my head, and I don't know why. You know, I woke up today, and, you know, it was, I felt this energy of, you know, I get the feeling of something is going to pop off or something going on. So, forgive me of being a little bit out of sync tonight in trying to get my point across to you all. I apologize if it's not coming across clear. But if you is getting and understanding what I'm saying, I really hope that most of you are understanding and getting what I'm trying to say, as in black supremacy versus white supremacy. Now, when we get to it, I guess because things can, it's so many things that I could say about it. So I'm like just getting stuck, you know, because it's just so many things to say about black supremacy and white supremacy, as in far as like black supremacy, you know, I can say that black supremacy may have been a downfall. It just depends on the way you look at it. And when I say black supremacy, I'm saying when I go back to the definition of supremacy, which is the state or condition of being superior to all others in an authority of power or status, the black supremacy would be the boule. And I could talk about how that actually hold us back as a people, and how in the same sense it's held us back, in the same sense it's also has for those who have played that game, it has helped them. But as to the black party in a whole, like for instance, his name just went out of my head. Bill Cosby. Okay. Like, for instance, Bill Cosby. If you go back and look at some of his earlier stuff and the things that he did, you know, and we know that he's a part of the boule. He's, you know, if you don't know, go research it. But anyways, earlier work, he did a whole lot of things for black people. You know, most of the stuff that he did was to help black people to get in better positions than they was. He was the role model. He did those things, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you know, he was being controlled. I'm not going to say controlled, but he was kept at a certain status. Like, you know, when he got ready to buy he wanted to buy the TV station, you know, they did things to cause him to go to jail or whatever, you know, the situation or whatever. But what I'm trying to say about that is, you know, these people, they have power and they gain power, and then they somewhat, in some ways, they keep, they hold us back because I feel like, you know, if you're boule, you have all this power, you have all this money, and you have all of this status and everything, why is it that I can't get it out, y'all, what I'm trying to say. It just won't flow out tonight. I don't know why it's not flowing for me tonight, y'all. Forgive me. I'm getting stuck. All right. I'm getting stuck right now, y'all. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to end this tonight. I don't know why I'm getting stuck on this. This is a very powerful title, and I really want to get over to y'all what I'm trying to say, but for some reason it's not flowing for me. Tonight, my apologies. It's not like this all the time. All my shows is not like this where it's not flowing and I can't get my point across. This is actually kind of like a first for me. But, hey, stuff happens. It's life. I promise to get back on track for you all. And I probably would, I'm going to do something for y'all to make up for this, because we're going to revisit this in a later show. It may be a show that's closer to the end of the season. I have 10 shows set up. They're going to be every second and fourth week, Monday of the month. So I'm going to revisit this, y'all. So forgive me if it was all over the place, but it's really aimed at ending white supremacy, because in order for us to get reparations, I know a lot of people is like, you know, don't even believe in Black people getting reparations, needing reparations, or anything of that nature, saying that, you know, it's us begging from, you know, our oppressors or whatever. But, you know, all those things that you said doesn't negate the fact that we deserve reparations and it's owed reparations. You know, other people can come from other countries and get reparations so easily, where they are in this country and they're set up to, you know, flourish in this country. But the Black people, you know, there are some that are flourished, there are some that are not flourishing, there are some that, you know, on the borderline, they're not, you know, they're not sick where to, you know, they can't afford anything. But what I'm trying to say is, yeah, I lost my thought. I rested up for this and everything, and I don't know why it's just not flowing for me tonight. I apologize for you all. But we're going to revisit this. So put that down. We're going to revisit this. We are going to revisit this. Now, don't let this one show tonight stop you from coming back. In 2 weeks, please come back for the next show. Is going to be great as always. And not to say that today's show wasn't great. I'm just the Virgo. I'm a perfectionist and think that everything should, you know, be close to perfect. But I'm not like that all the time, you know, but most of the time. So, you know, everything could be all right, but it's not to my liking. So I will revisit this topic, y'all, and I will be more prepared. Forgive me. So on that note, I'm going to end the show tonight. I really appreciate you all coming and listening to my shows. I appreciate you taking that time out to listen to me. I appreciate you listening and going to research the things that I present to you, and just don't just immediately dismiss it as, you know, nothing. So I really appreciate you all giving me your time. I appreciate you, and I love you all, and I wish you blessings throughout the week. And please come back. Please come back, and y'all have a good night. Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Only God can judge us.
That right? Only God, man.
Nobody else.
Nobody else.
All you other motherfuckers, get out of my business.
Ready? Perhaps I was drawn to the back. Stabbed in the back, I couldn't trust my own hope. Just the bus dirty back, will I succeed? Cannabinoid from the weed, and hope it's gonna try to focus, but I can't see. And in my mind, I'm a blind man doing time. Look to my future, cause my past is all behind me. It's in a crime to fight for what is mine. Everybody gone, tell me what's the use in trying. I've been trapped since birth, cautious, cause I'm cursed. And fantasies of my family in the earth. And they say it's the white man I severe, but it's my own time doing all the killing here. I can't lie, ain't no love for the other side. Jealousy inside, make them wish to die. Oh my lord, tell me what I'm living for. Everybody's dropping, got me knocking on heaven's door. And all my memories of seeing brothers bleed, and everybody grieve, but still nobody sees. Recollect your thoughts, don't get caught up in the mix, cause the media's full of dirty tricks. Only God can judge me.
Yeah, baby.
Only God can judge me.
Only God can judge me.
Only God can judge me. And only God can judge me. Only God can judge me. Flatline. I hear the doctor standing over me, screaming I can make it. Got a body full of bullet holes, laying here naked till I can't breathe. Something's evil in my IV, cause every time I breathe, I think they're killing me. I'm having nightmares, homicidal fantasies. I wake up strangling, hanging in my bed sheets. I call a nurse cause it hurts to reminisce. How did it come to this? I wish they didn't miss. Somebody help me, tell me where to go from here. Cause even thugs cry, but do the Lord care? Trying to remember, but it hurts. Some walking through the cemetery, talking to the dirt. I'd rather die like a man than live like a coward. There's a ghetto up in heaven and it's ours. Black power is what we scream as we dream in the paranoid state. And our fate is a lifetime I hate. Dear mama, can you save me? And fuck me, cause the street got our pay paid. We gotta eat, no more hesitation. Each and every black male trapped, and they wonder why we suicidal, running round trapped. It's the police. Try to feed it, it's a million motherfuckers dressing up like me. Only God can judge 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 me.
That which does not kill me can only make me stronger. I don't see why everybody feels as though they gotta tell me how to live my life. Let me live, man. Let me live.
Pac, I feel ya. Keep serving it on the river. For instance, say a player hating Mark about to kill ya. Would you be wrong for bucking a nigga to the pavement? He gon' get me first if I don't get him. Who's our prank? Ain't no such thing as self-defense in the court of laws or judges. When we get the river, we're winning the cross. That's real. Body, mercy, crush the fuck up on these. So to have a million kids now, everybody wanna match. They're talking behind my back like a bitch would. Telling them niggas you could take the fuck, I wish you would. Be the same motherfuckers in your face. Gotta rush up in your place to get your sex. Knowing you on that paper chase. Grass, glass, big swing and leather couch. My new shit is so pretty, I really took the key out. Bitch, remember Tupac and 4K? Them same two brothers got gorillas representing the bank. Pop when you was locked down, that's when I'll be around. Start climbing up the trunk from 6 to they tried to clown. That's why they ride the bandwagon, still be dragging, selling lies. Don't think I don't see you haters, I know y'all in disguise.
Can't you figure you know me cause I'm a thug? That love to hit the late night club, racing bugs. Just living lavish like a player all day. Now I'm bout to floss them all, playing sick with protect. Only God can judge.